This is The Hardline, the greatest show on earth.
Well, maybe just in St. Louis.
At a full-blown freak show, something to see. Got him lined up and waiting, taking bullets for me.
I'm a man,
I'm chucking down a one-way street.
You better move,
my tank's on E.
The Hardline with TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, John Hadley, Bob Ramsey, and who the hell else knows?
Well, hey, welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hardline, 59 The Fan, KFNS, 59TheFan.com, former Missouri wide receiver TJ Moe, that's me, with the current and forever, the voice of your St. Louis Billikens.
It just seems like forever.
Bob Ramsey. Jonathan Edgar Hadley out and about. Out and about. We do not know where. Most of you do not.
Or clearly not why.
Yeah, no, that we have no idea why. Matt Rock, you're here. As well, everybody hanging out in what is going to be a late night, boys. 8:30 start time. Bob Ramsey's first thing he's going to say is, who cares? What I'm going to say is, I like to sleep, and then I like to work out. So the closer my bedtime gets to my workout time, the grumpier I get. Does that make sense?
It does. And, you know, I'll never get to the point, I don't think, where I'm taking Cro-Magnon classes.
Well.
But I can aspire, but you're right. Like today, I was actually going to go out and bike this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice and cool, a little breezy, but that's okay. It would have been a great day to get a nice ride in. All right. My pup, we've talked about that for those who have been listening for a while, that I went against common sense
mm-hmm.
and marital bliss
yep.
and went and got a puppy. Well, $1,500 later over the last couple of months with medical bills for the dog. So today, had to go to the vet. Not an emergency, but had to get it taken care of, bladder infection.
Jeez.
Poor little thing, although she's not little. She's already like 40 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. And so that's where I was all morning, so I couldn't get actual literal work done or workout stuff done. So you're right, because now tomorrow, because I'll be exhausted, I know me. I won't work out tomorrow morning.
Yep. I have no idea why they do this. I cannot figure out why. Just start them both earlier. I get it. You want to stack them, don't have the games going at the same time? Fine. Start them earlier.
I think it has something to do with the perception, and there's probably data behind it, that they can't start the East Coast game earlier than they're starting it. 7 o'clock Eastern, is that right, Rock? I assume it's 7 Eastern.
Yeah.
So
the
for
Islanders,
whatever reason, they won't, it doesn't sound like they would, they don't believe they can get the eyes, I guess, at 6 Eastern, maybe? I don't know.
They're starting at 6, well, 6 are, yeah, 7 yeah. Eastern.
Well, see, I'm thinking about how it relates to their audience.
Right.
So I guess they're figuring they can't get people, enough people home from work and eyes on the TVs to get the ratings to start it at 6 and or get people into the building to start it at 6. Because everything they do on the East Coast is an hour later than when we do it. Not just TV, but probably because of TV, their rush hour traffic and all that stuff is all earlier.
Yeah.
Later.
It just makes no sense that you would, like, people will stay up, but you know the end of the game is going to be brutal.
Oh.
It's not like, look, if you're playing San Jose, you suck it up and live with it. You're like, look, you're playing a California team. Okay, you're going to start some games late, and that's life. But you're playing another team in the Central Time Zone, and imagine if you were playing Nashville. The poor people in Knoxville, Tennessee, who are on the Eastern Time Zone, would be starting the game at 9:45. Route now.
Just 100 miles away or 200 or whatever.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. You're like, this is our team. This is our state team. This is who we cheer for. And 9:45 start time. So anyway.
It really doesn't bother me, but you would think, and I don't know, not being a TV executive and never really understanding media executives, except that They're not the greatest bunch of guys.
Heard that.
Except, and gals, except, of course, all the folks in our local market are all princes and princesses.
Yeah, we're talking about the national.
Yeah, we're talking about the national.
The national
guys.
People who can't actually get
See, Rock, you say that there's an odd chance you could get a gig somewhere. No, for instance, Jack Donovan, Fox Sports Midwest, is a great, great guy.
Our local channels are great.
They do really do a good job, seriously.
It's the national people who can't actually get our game on the TV when it starts.
Oh, it's unbelievable. But there must be something that, you know, if that game started at, of course, if they started it, let's think this through. If they started at 6 o'clock Eastern, mm-hmm. okay, it'd be 7 o'clock here, 8 o'clock Mountain. No. I'm backwards.
6, 5.
4, 3. They get nothing out of the West Coast viewers. Now, they may not anyway.
You think the people on the West Coast are watching Carolina play hockey? You think they're watching the Hurricanes and Islanders? I don't think there's a single hockey fan on the West Coast. All at the beach.
So are we telling NBC that people only care about their home team and don't worry about being a national product?
That's not good advice for the national broadcast, but what I'm telling you is cater to you where your core audience is, and it's not in California.
I think that's a great point. And that's why I think without having the data in front of me or talking to the executives who had to make the call, that I'd try and split the difference between East Coast. They start a little bit early. We start a little bit late, everybody's put out a little. But
if we started at 8, I would still say, but it's not 8:45.
Right. And that 45 minutes when it starts to get to midnight makes a difference.
I'm telling you. I mean, don't
Can you go to bed at 11:15 or midnight? I'll take 11:15.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
I'm sure. Here's what we need to do then. Rock.
Send a strongly
worded
email.
Since we don't
email.
Have a producer, you're now an interim producer.
Mm-hmm. You're like Berube. Congratulations.
We need to find somebody who really knows NHL and their media policies. And get them on and just ask why and how and what data backs up the way they do it.
Splashback Deuce says, as long as they don't overlap and black us out, I'd watch the game if it started at midnight. I would too.
Well,
I'm not happy about it.
I'm with Splashback, and I really don't care except an unusual personal deal. And for everybody that's mad, including me today, you know, in the previous 9 games or whatever it is, you know me, I was like, so what? I don't care. Now I do because my dog has a bladder infection. They didn't call me to ask how the dog was today so they could adjust the times to accommodate me. I get that. So we got to look outside of our own snowflake-ishness and figure out why.
Yes and no, right? Because we are the lifeblood of what they're doing.
Meaning not everyone, meaning just you and me personally.
Bingo. No, but everybody,
sure,
right?
It's like, sure. No, it's just me and you.
Well, they should listen to us over everyone else.
Well, that's
no
a
doubt.
Good point. Between the two of us, we're going to be right on everything.
Yes, because we disagree, even if we have to, on most things. Hockey Bob says, if sports is your life, then adjust your life to the sports you like. Okay, Hockey Bob, everybody else has a job, though, bro. Nobody else is driving an Uber around all day, and that's a great job. Like, if that's your job and you can adjust, that's great. A ton of people, if they want to get up and actually have a healthy life, are going to get up in the morning because they work a 9-to-5.
Thursday's going to be a bleep day.
Yeah, it's true, right? First of all, it's raining in the forecast for the next decade, I think. So it's going to be a miserable day. You're trying
What's a cubit? 40 cubits. I'm going to start building. What can we define?
That's well done. That is well done. So look, it is just going to be late, and most people can't just say, you know what, I'll just go into work at 10 then. Like you do.
Yeah.
You don't.
I'm glad that we can still pull from that comedian's lexicon without actually acknowledging who it was and that it's been ruined for us.
Yeah.
Because if I can never make another My Cousin Russell joke, this world's darker.
The fact that you know his work is remarkable.
My parents are good people.
Yep.
The Noah's Ark sketch is one of the funniest things I ever heard when I was a young kid, and it's still
Noah?
The same holds up. What's a cubit?
Gibby says, let's hope that Hadley is out walking blindfolded across I-70. By the way, as long as we're talking about unbelievable skits, I think the funniest routine I've ever seen is Robin Williams talking about golf.
Robin Williams is really good. So now, side topic, and we're going to get to real stuff in a minute. Side topic, I think, I hate using the Mount Rushmore thing, so I'll just think, I think in order. No, wait a minute.
I'll just name the top four.
The top two, right. No, I'll go top two, because then it gets pretty tough. Top two are Richard Pryor and George Carlin for stand-up comics. Then after that, you've got a group that includes Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock, Jerry Seinfeld, Bill Cosby, Sam Kinison. And then you start to get into your own particular tastes. And that group is that next super, superstar level.
Yeah.
But to me, Pryor and Carlin are the guys. And they tip their caps to Bill Cosby as stand-up, going from just a guy telling a joke, you know, three sportscasters walk into a bar and telling a joke, as opposed to telling stories and creating characters and longer bits.
Cosby, I hate how we do this, that like you don't get to play the Bill Cosby show anymore. Because
right.
Bill Cosby, well, look, the show was still funny. It was an unbelievable show, and it's like something you're never going to forget. He's still funny.
Right.
He's still one of the greatest comedians in the history of the earth. He's just also a terrible human being.
You know, you can't find any Hitler art anywhere anymore.
Yeah, unbelievable. I bet he, you know.
That started
plenty
it
of other dog artists, Bob.
Oh, sorry.
Like
you
by the
find
way,
other ones.
No,
Jeez.
Didn't he do the first one with the dogs playing poker? Wasn't that him? Wasn't that my man Dolph?
I don't think it was. No. I don't think that one. No.
No.
I think there is a German Shepherd in there, though.
But it set the precedent for turning your back on the rest of their work.
Darren Sharper was a really, really good safety that we pretend never existed because he date raped all sorts of chicks. I don't like that we do that.
We didn't take away OJ's Heisman, did we?
We tried to.
No, but those other guys tried to steal it, and he got put in jail for that.
Okay.
You can't win, the poor
guy. I was
watching
Home Improvement the other day, boys. Guess who was just a tiny, tiny 20, 30-second spot on it? Early days. Dave Chappelle.
Is that right?
How about that? And it was this thing about he went up there, and they were all talking about, you know, girls and things, and they brought him on stage. He was just a guy in the crowd that he brought up for the show for, you know, Tool Time. And he comes back and he's like, bro, you got to take that back. My girl is pissed. Anyway, Chappelle.
That's funny.
Yeah, Chappelle is, but going way back. Tim Allen's been funny for so long.
He really has.
He's one of the people that one of those, nobody ever talks about him. And I have no idea why, because he's hilarious.
He really is.
I will tell you
recently he's caught a lot of partisan crap Tim Allen has, because he's very staunch, very, very staunchly came out as a
conservative.
He was like really just kind of like in the back, and then
but he
really came out strong. And
it shows how funny he is, that he can still overcome that in Hollywood and have successful television shows.
And he's fly in the face. He said, I'm going to continue to be as outspoken as I want to be, and I'm going to continue, you know, working. And he has.
And that, by the way, is why ABC, his opinion,
show,
whoever.
Yeah.
But Fox picked him up, and it is horrible now. I watched
the show, really?
I watched these. So the first six seasons were on ABC, and there it's
I didn't
the best.
Show. It was that long of a show.
It was the best show on television, in my opinion. Last Man Standing. It is so.
Has it been
funny
on that long?
So
I didn't realize. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I thought it had three seasons.
Season
maybe.
Seven, season eight just got picked up.
Wow.
On Fox. Season seven is one of the worst television episodes. If that would have been the first episode I've ever seen, they had to recast one of the main characters. Because there's a lull in the show, and the girl who plays Mandy, she found other work, and they just recasted her with a girl that's about a foot taller and blonde instead of a brunette. It's a really bad fit. She's not funny, and then everybody else lost their funny. It's like Eddie Murphy just lost it. That's kind of what happened to the show.
You know what happens sometimes is, the opposite of like
the writers,
Stephen King and something like that. Right, being able to keep your high quality writing. If you have bleep on paper, you're going to have bleep on the screen. Yeah. And having high-quality writers and keeping them and keep having fresh ideas, it's really hard.
Tim Van Gelder, Carlin on football versus baseball is the best, yeah.
What's that? Say that again?
Carlin on football versus baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Baseball players want to go home. Football players, you are a field general and you surgically strike. It's perfect.
618, darn Rammer, sounds like your puppy is a lemon.
Oh.
Well, between the broken leg and now the, but I'll tell you what, she sure is cute. She sure is cute. So, take the good with the bad.
Yeah, it's like, never mind, I won't go there. Alti said,
that was going to be dark.
It was going to be really dark.
It was going to be a point about ruthless efficiency, and we don't need, no, keep it, TJ.
Alti says, NHL should let the broadcast be simulcast. Should let local broadcast be simulcast.
Again, they're thinking, trying to think nationally. They're trying to think they have a national product. And they know if they do that and play them at the same time, whether it's true or not, they think they'll lose a big part of the audience. I think.
I'm sure they've done studies and different things.
Some kind of advertising numbers. And, you know, you can get numbers to really say anything you want it to say.
That's right. Numbers don't lie, but the way you manipulate them certainly does.
Yes. Numbers don't lie, but they can mislead.
That's right. Hockey Bob says, when I say adjust your life, he spelled your, Y-U-R. Adjust your life.
Well, he's got street cred. Come on, man.
I mean, take a nap, Dillweed, and I have 7 jobs. I'm sure you do, Hockey Bob, which is why you come and hang out with us every day.
That's why we love you, and you're a great American, and capitalism is your thing, and you're wonderful.
No, that's awesome. I'm telling you that a lot of people have like 8 to 5 jobs. If you know, it's like
capitalism really your thing if you're working 6 jobs.
Yes. Absolutely.
Sure.
Okay.
You're trying to live the American dream.
That's right.
You may be failing. See, here's the thing. You're only guaranteed. This is the problem with the snowflakes. The Constitution, America only promises and guarantees the pursuit of happiness.
Right.
Finding happiness is on you, bro. It's on you. But we're going to give you the opportunity to find it, the pursuit of it. You got to find it. You're on your own, man.
And much like the movie, it's hard to get through sometimes.
Yesterday, this person called himself the Ween Peeker. I think today he's changing his name. He said, Hockey Bob, take 2 shots of bleach. And then he says his name now is Nipsey Russell's Ballsack. Perhaps he meant Nipsey Hussle, but that was a...
Don't got to take it to Nipsey Hussle. Come on now. The man's recently dead. That'd be a little disrespectful, wouldn't it?
I don't know. If you want to be named after his ballsack, you can. Okay. Could be in his honor.
I just find the whole thing uncomfortable.
We're getting into the morning show talk
right.
Again. Doggone it,
they're
guys.
Great at what they do. Let's don't try and copy it.
That's right. That's right. By the way, we want to hit on this, continue to hit on this. As of this moment, I will check what it is.
Oh, the GoFundMe?
Right now. Mm-hmm.
It's remarkable. Listeners are...
Spectacular.
I would tip my cap if indeed I were wearing one.
Yep.
You're unbelievable. Unbelievable. Really great.
So if you guys missed it yesterday or did not hear on the morning show, our friend Larry Nickel has been diagnosed with testicular cancer. Obviously, we know that is not a fun adjustment. That is not a fun quest that he's about to have to be going on. So... anyway, Tim McKernan started a GoFundMe, and that is up. I am pulling it up as we speak. But he started it now coming up on 2 days. But within the first 24 hours, it was up over $36,000 when I said it yesterday. And right now, it's at $42,217.
Say that again.
$42,217.
They've added like $3,000 in just the last few hours. This morning, wasn't it at 38 or 39?
May have been. I didn't check it this
morning.
That's
amazing. Keep it up, folks.
So,
Great stuff.
If you guys would like to go, if you don't have Twitter, just go to GoFundMe.com, type in Larry Nickel Cancer Recovery Fund. And the story here, he's been diagnosed with testicular cancer. The cancer has spread to his abdomen, kidneys, and chest. So he is going to need some financial help, as any of us would in a time like this. You guys have been spectacular. That is an unbelievably generous group, many of which Tim was talking about this morning. You go look at all the people, but someone just gave 2 hours ago, someone gave $1,001.
Oh my. So despite all the disgusting foulness that we get from social media from the fans, and you're playing along, you got a good heart.
That's right. So
behind that foulness is goodness.
That's right. So thank you guys for doing that and taking care of our 590 family here, our friends, and just our community. That is how it's supposed to be.
Absolutely.
So really cool stuff there. All right, let's get to some Blues. Game 4 tonight. Blues up 2-1. I have not seen this stat exactly, but I know when the series is tied 1-1, very similar to how we said, look, if the winner of game 5 in a series tied 2-2 wins like 80% of the time, it's not quite that stark when it's tied 1-1 in the winner of game 3, but it's pretty close. It's still in the 65% range, I think.
You can get that edge, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a big game, and especially you had to go win it in Dallas. That was a big deal. They now are in a position, similar position that they were with Winnipeg here. Well, no, they weren't. They had a time they could have, if they had not lost both at home, that they could have gone up 3-1.
Right.
If you go up 3-1 and force them to win 3 in a row, ain't happening. This Blues team is not going to lose 3 in a row. Dallas right now is changing their lines. They are changing. They're looking at changing their defensive pairings and bringing up guys that haven't played since December. I mean, they're really changing things up. Tyler Seguin has moved down to the second line. You have Radulov and Jamie Benn. I forgot who they moved up, but they're actually changing.
Oh.
Did you see Rock?
Well, let me say this to
he's Kintz or whatever it is, Hintz, who scored 2 goals already.
To add to what you're saying, next to Game 7 for this particular series, this is the next most important game other than Game 7.
Game 4? I think Game 5 probably, based on statistics.
Well, but what I'm saying, given this particular series, because either you come out of this even, and then you're going to be fighting to get to Game 7,
yeah,
or you come out 3-1.
That's right.
And so that's what I'm saying. This is the most pivotal game of this series other than a potential Game 7.
Mm-hmm. Rock, did you have something? So anyway, they are changing up their lines. The Blues are changing up their power play. They have Vince Dunn now on he's going to be on the top power play unit.
Should it be him and Petro, or they move?
No, Petro's down to number 2.
Huh.
So,
interesting.
Yeah, look, I don't mind this.
I trust Berube.
And
I really do.
And I think truly this is less about, but normally I say, look, Petro's just not a great power play guy. The power play was actually very good to end the year since Berube took over. The power play was substantially better, but it just, Petro's not typically the guy making stuff work. Shattenkirk was. Shattenkirk
really was.
Really made stuff work. That has not been the look of things over the past, since he left. So I don't mind this. I actually, this time though, think it's less about Petrangelo and more about a really, really not only good but very hot penalty killing unit for Dallas. They're very, very aggressive. It obviously led to a shorthanded goal. They come out routinely. A lot of guys pack it in. They come out and get you. And so
they really do.
When they do that, and if you are prone to turn it over, which by the way, Vince Dunn is prone to turn it over,
mm-hmm,
oftentimes. But Petrangelo has not been immune to that either.
Right.
So you have a couple guys, right, who do it. Why not change it up? You still got your same group out there. Maybe a guy who, he is more offensively gifted. His ceiling is higher than Petrangelo. I know Petrangelo's had a lot of points, but Dunn has a higher ceiling. And just take a look. So here is what it looks like right now. Vince Dunn is with Tarasenko, Ryan O'Reilly, Braden Schenn, and David Perron. Petrangelo is going to be...
That's first power,
yes,
play unit?
Yes.
Say it again slowly.
So Vince Dunn now taking Petrangelo's spot with Vladimir Tarasenko, Ryan O'Reilly, Braden Schenn, and David Perron.
Yeah, that's good. With Tarasenko on the other point.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you have Petrangelo with Schwartz, Maroon, Bozak, and Thomas. I would not be surprised to see Schwartz switching with Perron at
Could
some
happen.
Point here.
Could, yeah, happen.
Just to see, like, instead of having two pretty good units, go throw everybody right now. Perron has not offered you too much this series. And maybe he's still hurt. We saw him, I think it was game 4
Ribs.
Or 5. Yeah. Against Winnipeg, I don't know that he's necessarily recovered. He obviously had a goal early in that series. That was a great goal,
mm-hmm,
early on. He's brought you a ton of offense this year when he's been healthy. This series, it hasn't looked as good. Jaden Schwartz has never been hotter than he is right this very moment.
Right.
So, as a guy who's got...
Capitalize on it.
Yes. Put him up there. And so I would change him with Perron. I don't know if that's going to happen. But you have Schwartz, Maroon, Bozak, and Thomas, which truly just gives you a different look, right? It's
because Maroon's the guy in front and,
right,
and mucking it up with those guys, and yeah.
It's the Maroon, Bozak, Thomas line, you know,
mm-hmm,
just out there,
yeah,
right? It's going to be their style of play. Obviously, it'll be a little different there. So I wouldn't mind moving Schwartzy with Perron there. But either way, bottom line is they're changing stuff up here. So is Dallas. They're both. And so it's going to be interesting to see you're looking at a game here that Dallas is going to legitimately throw everything they have at you.
That was going to be my point, that whether they're successful or not at, as of 1:30 today is not the point.
Mm-hmm.
The point is that they will do – they're going to absolutely sell out on everything they do. And if they've got a guy giving one percentage point less than 100%, Monty will take – he won't play. I mean
– That's right.
This is it. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I really believe they'll look at this. This is almost a game seven.
Oh, for them it is. Absolutely.
Almost a game seven. They've got to win it. And so if you're the Blues, you have to understand, and they do. They do. This is not, you know, some secret formula. They have to withstand it. And if they can somehow withstand the surge from Dallas and somehow get a lead, you can take your K-bar knife. If you get a lead on them early when they're putting their surge on, you take your K-bar USMC knife, stab it into their chest, and absolutely cut their heart out.
Yep.
I'm trying to go Army, but a little different.
I like it.
Yeah. You can cut their heart out if you do that. Now, if they do score early, it's almost going to be expected. It doesn't mean you know, we've seen the Blues be able to come back against them.
Yep.
But I think you're just in for the an unbelievable battle.
Hold your butts.
But if you can withstand their surge and score first, you got a real good shot to take them out.
I totally agree with you. I hate the verbiage of weather the storm. For me, that's passive. Don't weather the storm. Take it to them. And we do this routinely. We talk about, hey, you're going to get their best shot. You just got to weather the storm and then play your game. Play your game, yes. Play your game as aggressively and as physical and as fast as you possibly can, knowing that they're going to be doing it and you need to match it. Don't just stop and say, well, hey, let's play some really good defense and hope that they slow down. Ain't happening.
No. And to take from basketball, when teams are pressuring you, not necessarily even full court pressure, but including that, or really up in your grill, the best thing to do is attack the attacker.
That's right.
You got to attack the attacker.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And that's what they need to do. And I know, you know, it is weathering the storm, but how are you weathering the storm, right? The how, I think, is what I think. That is a passive term to me. We just got to weather the storm.
That's a great
point.
That's a great point.
I don't like it. Take it to them. Take their freaking, as you said, cut their freaking heart out, right? Mm-hmm. The idea is you need to be up 3-0 at the end of the first period and see how much energy they got left. Then say, hey, you lose that game, well, we got some other things to talk about. But take it to them, mm-hmm. right? If you are in Dallas and you're up 3-0 after the first period, when they have changed their lines and they've been the team that just beat Nashville in six, the team that actually did win the Central Division, been one of the hottest teams in all of hockey, and you're taking it to them on their home ice when they're not going to get to come back here because the Blues are about to go finish it in five, that's a totally different game. That's what you need to get to.
You know, Monty made a point of understanding, and really he was frustrated at midpoint in the season, really frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew that the culture there had to change. And the way they finished the season and got through the first round, it appears that it has. Has it changed enough? Tonight will be a real telling. Because of what they're having to do to change things up,
mm-hmm.
it'll be really telling if they really have changed the culture.
And truly, the Blues have changed theirs.
Oh, there's no question about it.
And I think Dallas has changed theirs, too.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the Blues are a better team. It's like, you know, the Blues overcame Winnipeg, who you can make an argument is a better, more talented team. And you did. That's the argument you made. I don't know that I fully buy in, but there's a great argument to be made there. They certainly have at least one player, Dustin Byfuglien, that's better than anybody on this Blues roster. Minimally one. Maybe two blanking on his name, the guy who scored five goals on you.
Laine
was playing.
Yeah.
So.
Boy, I hated him.
Yeah, I didn't like him.
During the series.
I didn't care
for
Schlafly either.
So really.
They had a bunch of cats who we didn't really care for.
Yeah.
But you outgutted them and you had more character than they did. I don't know that the Blues are going to necessarily outgut or have more character than Dallas. What Dallas did, if I'm a Dallas fan, coming back over and over and over again shows mm-hmm. a lot of guts.
It does. And that's what Monty was going for.
And I think they've got it. I think so. This is what right.
And we'll, the second line guy they brought in that was hurt. Oh, help me, Rock.
The guy who broke his arm.
Yeah,
Radulov. No, he's the first line guy. Zuccarello.
Yeah, Zuccarello. Zuccarello. I don't want to overstate it because I'm not close to the team, obviously. But it seems like he might be that guy that was like the last piece to change that culture.
Yes. Yes. Here is what people always say this. Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. But when talent works hard, they beat your ass. That's the truth of it.
Yeah.
If you work as hard as you can.
If your best players are your hardest workers, you've got something going.
Right. If Bob Ramsey works as hard as I do and I've got half the talent, Bob's going to crush me. That's just the way it is. I mean,
yeah, but I'm not going to work that hard, so you win.
Well, there you go. talent is the tiebreaker when everything else is equal. I actually think as far as character and guts and having gone through the ringer a little bit and having had to face adversity through a season and really have to make a run, your back's up against the wall. I mean, the Blues had to make a historic run. Dallas wasn't too far off. They had to make great run to do this thing. They've got character. Dallas does. The Blues happen to have talent here as the tiebreaker, and I think that's what ultimately takes them. They may win this thing in five, but I don't think that is a shot at the Dallas character or their guts. I think they have changed the culture.
And so, yeah, and so to put a bow on it, if both teams have had to overcome a lot and the effort is there, the most talent will probably win, mm-hmm. and that we think that would be the Blues.
Or the guy that refuses to dive on the ice and lay there while the guy you're supposed to be covering scores a game-winning goal. That could be part of the equation, too.
He's playing the wrong sport.
Lindell. All right. Pine Top Perkins has a few thoughts for us. Let's see. And the lovely Lisa Ann donated as well.
Nice.
I don't even know who that is. Hockey Bob. Apparently, one of the side effects of drinking bleach is that you can't recall who you are. Thanks, but no thanks.
Well, there's some evidence to support that theory.
Tim Van Gelder, have TJ and Rock ever heard Andy Griffiths, the call, or they call it football. It's still funny 65 years later.
It really is funny.
I need to listen to it.
I listened to it.
Pine Top Perkins, the Blues should sell out and go for broke tonight. They have nothing to lose.
Well, that's kind of what we're saying, that attack the attacker, jump on him. I think you score early.
You sell out and go for broke, though, you leave yourself open to losing 5-0. I wouldn't do that.
No. I don't agree with that part of the statement, but you
Don't take every chance out there. Don't pinch.
Don't take chances. No.
Right. I like chances.
But play.
Calculate them.
Play your game.
That's it right there.
And take it to them.
That's exactly right there. Fully agree. The Bo Weevil of Beville Mill. Make the Dallas Stars take it to their grave, to their blimping grave, he says.
Blimping.
Do you mean blanking?
He's making the Herb Brooks reference. I don't think we're at the Herb Brooks point
yet. Hey, thanks
yet.
A lot, eh? There you go.
That Herb Brooks moment would have worked well for Tampa before they got blown out.
Yes.
If you don't beat these guys after all the work you've done this season, and they will, all those guys on that team will look back at this season and how they blew it.
That's right.
They'll never forget it.
No.
Unfortunately for them.
No. That's crazy, isn't it? Hockey Bob, TJ Nashville was not one of the hottest teams in the league at the end of the season. Go back and listen to your own comments on that. I didn't call them one of the hottest teams. I said the team that actually won the Central Division, Hockey Bob. I have been the one preaching from the top of the mountaintop that I didn't think Nashville was very good after Game 16 this year.
Yeah.
Did I just say they were one of the hottest teams?
Rock? I don't recall you saying hottest. They did win the division, though.
They were the team that actually won the division, point that I was trying to make.
Overcame Winnipeg. You could talk about them folding, the Blues losing that game in New York, blah, blah, blah. But as Rick Majerus would say, you are what your record says you are. And they won. They won the division.
By 1 point.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
100 points. Anyway, there you go. That is, we're going to talk some NFL draft. We were going to do it with John yesterday, but it's tougher to have a discussion when he's on the phone.
It really is tough.
So
as tough as it is in person, it's trebled when he's on the phone.
Yeah. So we're going to do our own NFL draft talk coming up here. We're going to talk some Drew Lock. We're going to talk some Emmanuel Hall. We're going to talk some generalities. Rock, I know you are scarred from the NFL forever, but you did actually keep up with that, did you not?
Yeah.
All right.
Probably. It's hard not to.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just going to be up in the tower sniping questions.
Good. And I got a bunch of questions, Cardinals questions for you, and then we come back with some Blues stuff.
And we have Curbs late in the show, right?
That's right, we do.
Good.
So, hey, boys, today we are running something at Smoothie King. If you wear your Blues gear in, they'll give you a dollar off any 20, 32, or 40-ounce smoothie. So you walk in, Bob, and just tell them that you got Blues written on your heart, and they'll give you
Here's what's funny. Like, you've got a couple of really cool Blues
shirts. My mom.
Shirts.
It's all my mom. I mean, she's a fashionist.
Really cool stuff. My stuff is like just old Blues t-shirts.
Love it.
Because I was going to come in today with that. Not that we don't have a dress code here.
No,
but
you don't even have to wear clothes.
Again, let's stay out of the morning show territory. Let's please do that. So I'm going to go home and change, put on my Blues t-shirt.
There you go.
I got three of them.
So that is not for Smoothie Kings across the area. That is for the South County location there on South Lemberg, and that is for the Fenton location, 750 Gravois Bluffs Road. So go in there with the Blue stuff, get yourself a dollar off, go Blues, everyone. And you know what I was telling you guys the other day? I love analytics for things. I was telling you guys about the drive-thru. Last I had looked, drive-thru was about 60% of the business. At our Fenton location, it's up to 76%.
Is now, that right?
That's for this.
I'm like the only guy that goes in, I guess.
That's for this year, which tells you we've had a really crummy, terrible winter, and nobody wants to go in. But anyway, if you're in a hurry, there's a drive-thru. And 75 for 3 out of 4 people that come on through, take that drive-thru. I'd recommend it.
I love going in, though, because I've never had bad service.
Yeah.
And the people you have working there are spectacular. Friendly and nice and informative. It's really a good atmosphere. Now, I've never been in when Rock works, so right. I kind of understand that's a different animal.
Hockey Bob came in looking for Rock the other day. He did.
But the people, I go to the Fenton store, obviously. The people are spectacular.
Yes, the Fenton store is fine. And South County, Rock is at the South County store. They're really good people over there. We're switching some things
Service
around.
Is great.
Very, very good people indeed. And good people just in general, we know this with the revolving door of everything, are tough to find. So we have some good ones. Thank you for that, Bob. And thank you. Thank you guys for supporting what we do there. So anyway, bring your Blue stuff in. Go Blues. You guys can probably fit 19 smoothies in before the game actually starts. And then we'll try to stay open till 3 a.m. until the game's actually over. So anyway, we're going to go to break. Some football talk on the other side. It's Hardline.